And good morning. Nice to see everyone this morning, and we pray everyone had a great Christmas. I'm sure we did. Everyone looks well fed. And we wish you all a happy new year, and we're getting very close to 2019. My friends, time flies. The old saying goes, time waits for no man and very few women. It goes by real fast. We are 2 days away from a brand new year. 2 days. You know, tomorrow night is New Year's Eve, and there'll be all kinds of parties in the world, of course, and make all kinds of resolutions made, as is every year. Resolutions, and people are going to make changes, and people are going to make new commitments, and so on. You know what? Even as you and I, as Christians, we can make some new commitments, can't we? Because today we're going to look at four different things, things that we want to think about. And one is a person. We were just singing, and that was a beautiful song we just sang. First one is this man. This man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, we're going to look at this year. And my friends, we don't have much left in this year, do we? But maybe we could talk about next year. This year. And this night. There's a passage in the Word of God that speaks about this night. A passage about this year. And there's also a passage or two about this day. So we're going to look at those four different things. This man, first of all, in four different scriptures, and it's mentioned many more times than four. I've just picked out four of them. This man, he is Christ Jesus. We're going to look at the first one. It's in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and it's a centurion, that very soldier who was in control, if you will, of the Lord's death. And we wonder why this man would say these words as we read. Why would he call him the Son of God? What was it that he saw? What was it that came into his mind or into his thought process? This would not be a wimpy man. Someone who was used to crucifying people. And we know what the whole story about crucifixion is all about. Cruelty in the first degree. And yet he would acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So we see, first of all, this man, he was the sovereign man. Secondly, we're going to look at he was a sinless man. He was a suffering man. He's a sitting man, and he's also a saving man. That is the one we've been singing about this morning. That is the one that we should focus, Christmas should be our utmost focus on, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came down to where sinful man is and was and is, and he came down to save them from their sins. Mark chapter 15, and we're reading in at verse 37. We're just going to read scriptures, and we're going to make a very few comments on each one. We allow the Spirit of God and the scriptures to speak to each one of us. In verse 37 of Mark's Gospel chapter 15, it says, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost," or up the spirit. "And the veil of the temple," we're just singing about that, "was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." That was a large veil that separated the holiest and the holiest of holies. And then some people say it was probably 25 feet high and probably 10, 11 inches thick. And it was rent. When the Lord cried out, "It is finished," from the top to the bottom. And that was a picture of giving us entrance into the very holy presence of God. Because of his death on the cross, because he finished the work. "And the veil of the temple," verse 38, "was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him or next to him, saw that he so cried out, he gave up the spirit. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God." What made this ruthless man say those words? Did we ever think about that? What was it that he saw and he heard? And my friends, he saw and heard just like every one of us, and he made a choice that day. Something triggered something in his mind. He said, "This truly is the Son of God." He didn't just say he was a good man. He said he was the Son of God. And I do not believe this man was a saved man. But he acknowledged this one on the cross, and he saw the things that were happening. And he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. We're going to see another man who was a thief on the cross on one side, and there was a thief on the other side of the cross. And if you read in Matthew's Gospel and Mark's, we see that First of all, both of them were of the same mind. Both of them would say to the Lord Jesus, if you be the Christ, save yourself, come down and save us. But all of a sudden, in chapter 23 of Luke's gospel, we see that one of them, his mind was changed. You know what changing of the mind is? It's repentance, isn't it? That's what repentance is. Change your mind. Your mindset, the way you're thinking right now. If you're not saved, then that's what happened to me way back in 1982. There was a change of my thinking. Now I turn around, as it were, to God because I had my back to Him. I turned around and said, Lord, You are right and I'm wrong. You are the Savior of the world. You are the one who can save me from my sins. And look what it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 41. Luke's Gospel 23 and verse 41. Verse 41 of chapter 23 of Luke's Gospel. And we, this is the one of the thieves who was speaking to the other on the other side of the cross. He said, and we justly, we deserve what we're getting, for we receive the due reward of our deeds or our actions. But this man has done nothing amiss. And so we say, well, how would this guy know that? What happened? And why didn't the other fella see the same thing? Why? He was hearing the things that were being said. He would hear that first cry of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He would see the writing, or he would, at least probably before it was on the cross, it said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He said, I wonder what this all means. See, he had a desire to know more about, there was a point in time in his life when he's on the cross. He says, I need to know this person. I want to know more about him. And you know, I make choices, you know that? And God is speaking all the time to people. He's speaking even this morning. If you went to Job chapter 33, it says the Lord speaks once, yea, He speaks twice. And if you read that chapter, you will see how the Lord speaks in different ways. It doesn't mean that He stops speaking after He speaks twice, but He speaks to people continually. And we're going to go to a verse in a few moments that speaks about that. This man has done nothing amiss. We see he was sinless. To this person on the cross, his thief, who was someone who did all kinds of mischief, he was called a thief. But he could see in this person who was hanging on the cross between him and the other thief that this man had done nothing amiss. He probably heard Pilate say, I find no fault in this man. And he came to the conclusion that this was the Savior. Because what did he say to him? He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Why would he say that? He had a change of mind, didn't he? He made a decision. And what was the Lord's response? Today or this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And God is looking for responses from every one of us. He's looking, he's calling, and he's looking for a response. Then we can go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. A verse we know very well. We quote it many times. It says, but this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, that is the man who was a suffering man. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God. Why would he be sitting down? Because he had finished the work, didn't he, that God had given him to. The cross work was finished. And he's sitting down. And that is where he is this morning. Until someday soon he's going to be standing up again. And he's going to come for those who are redeemed. And he could come today. He could come today. There's one man who always prays. He says, until he comes or calls. He could call you home today too. He could call you home today. My wife and I would love to watch the news every evening, 6 o'clock or whatever. CTV news or our local news. Last night we turned on the TV, and the first news it was in the province of New Brunswick, a lady, 25 years old, Friday night, 6:30, on a skidoo, killed, gone. Did she plan on doing that? The next one was a man, Christmas Eve, this Christmas Eve, after he was a lineman, a very hard-working man, with a family, just got married 5 months ago. It's on the news. He was going home because he had a little party after work, which we used to do when I was at Meat Cutter Towers. You know what? After the end of the day, Christmas Eve, before we went home, somebody would bring out the bottles, wouldn't they? The liquid spirit. And everybody have a few drinks. This young man was walking home, and he was going across the road. He was hit, and he was killed. That was just the other day. The Lord is speaking to people in many different ways. And sometimes we don't hear Him speaking. Some people say, I never hear Him speak. I was at a home over the Christmas holidays, and some person was on their phone when their mother called their name. And they never heard her, and she had to call again. He never heard it then, and I think she had to call the third time. And he finally heard their name, her name. That was only Jesse. He was on the phone. Now, many of us are, aren't we? We say, why didn't he hear his name being called? Because he was otherwise occupied. And many people today, we're busy in this world and we don't hear the Lord speaking to us because we're otherwise occupied. Occupied with the things of the world. Occupied. Is the Lord speaking? You go one way back to Genesis. What did the first man that he made who sinned and disobeyed against God? We see it in Genesis chapter 3. What were the first words that the Lord would call out to this man? He would say, Adam, where art thou? Did God know where he was? Yes, God knew where he was. But Adam didn't. And today we have people saying, oh, you know, well, the person, he has to go and do this or spend some time doing that until they find themselves. You know what? The Lord is seeking you right tonight. It says that also in Luke's Gospel chapter 19, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is seeking souls even this morning. And He is calling you. And you say, well, I don't hear Him. Do you want to hear Him? Because the verse I want to go to is, and it should mark in your Bibles, is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. You know, it's right after as those seven churches that John was speaking to, and the last one was Laodicea, and we see in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and it's a beautiful picture, or it is an illustration of what the Lord is doing. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or any woman will hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And we see in that picture, we see the Savior of the world. He's standing at a door. And let's liken that door to your life, to your heart. And he's standing at the door and he's knocking. So number one, he's knocking at your door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's standing, he's knocking, and it says, if any man will hear my voice, he is speaking. He's speaking to you, and he's probably saying, Brian, where are you? Jill, where are you? Bill, where are you? And he knows where you are. But you don't. And like the world, you're trying to find yourself, and the Lord says, come to me. So he's standing there. He's knocking, and he's speaking, and he's waiting for a response, and there's only two responses. We have a closed door, and he says, if any man will hear my voice and will open the door. Now you can either open the door and say, Lord, come in. Because it says that, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the child of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can open the door, or you can say, uh-uh. The door is still closed. The Lord is speaking to people in many different ways. If you go back to Job chapter 33, sometimes it brings some little suffering and pain into our lives. Why? To get our attention. He wants our attention. He wants to sup with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. And you know, Christians, That was speaking to Christians. Sometimes we do not hear what he's saying. You went to the book of Samuel, see little Samuel. The Lord spoke three times, and it says, it was not known unto him. The Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. He ran to the high priest, or the priest of that day. He thought someone else was speaking to him. And sometimes we are like that too. We're not sensitive to the word of the Lord, or we have not experienced when we have heard him speak to us. Many Christians here today know that there was a time in their lives, probably many times, when the Lord spoke to them and they knew it was from the Lord. But you know what? We have to have a desire for that and say, Lord, because you know what Samuel's final response was? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Do you know why the Lord says so many times in the Word of God, he that hath ears, let him hear. You know what it says in James? Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Why did the Lord give us two ears and one mouth? Thank the good Lord he didn't give us two mouths. Can you imagine the noise? Whew! We would be totally confused, wouldn't we? The Lord wants us to hear. He wants to speak to us. And he's standing at our heart's door. So we see the sovereign man. This man would say he is the Son of God. A cruel taskmaster, he would say that. The thief on the cross would say, this man has done nothing amiss. He was a sinless man. It says, but this man, in Hebrews chapter 10, but this man, the suffering man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, whose sins, yours and mine? He sat down. That means that work was finished. He's a sitting man, and he's also a saving man. If you go to Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39, and Paul was speaking, preaching in Antioch, and listen to what he said. Be it known unto you, this is after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was now risen and in heaven. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So there's forgiveness of sins. He's a saving man. Salvation is available to every one of us this morning. And by him, all that believe are justified. You are acquitted of all your sins the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is past, present, future. God wipes them all out. And that is truly amazing. He says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be by the law of Moses. Not by keeping rules and regulations, not by religion. I heard a little illustration of religion the other day. It says religion is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but you don't get anywhere. Religion. We have all kinds of denominations in the world today. God wants a relationship with you, a personal relationship. So in order to have a relationship, we have to open the door and say, Lord, come on into my life. Take control of my life. Because he says, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. Fellowship. A time of, we've had a lot of fellowship over the last week or so, didn't we, with our families. We communicated. We enjoyed their time, spending time with them. And the Lord is saying, you know what? I died for your sins. I made you. We talked about that earlier this morning. He is creator. He's sustainer of life. He's our redeemer. He's our reconciler. He's our mediator. He's everything. He's our savior. And he wants us to come to him. He wants us to come to him. You know what? We used to say those little things, be careful of the lies, what you see. Do you know what the Lord says? Look unto me and be you saved. We talked about listening. Do you know what it says in Proverbs chapter 8? Hearken unto me. The Lord says, use your ears. He says, look at me and be you saved. Listen to me or for me. It says in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, call unto me. That is your mouth. Lord, save me from my sins. That's what I did way back in 1982. Do you know what it says in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28? Come unto me. That's our feet. Move towards the Lord. Turn around. Come to the Lord. So he says that. Look unto me. That is what that thief on the cross did that day. He started looking. He started beholding. The word behold means not just to take a quick glance at it. It means to investigate. What is this man doing on the cross if he has never sinned? What's he doing there? And the Spirit of God and the Word of God spoke to that man. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He called him Lord. And he must be Lord in our lives. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a Savior he is. So he says, look unto me, hearken unto me. He says, call unto me, speak. That's all we have to do for a person to be saved in a moment of time. Just say, Lord, I am a sinner. I agree with you. Save me from my sins, please. And I will follow you. And I will be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me beside the still water and so on. We can claim that psalm and many other promises, hundreds of them in the Word of God. We're a child of God. We can never slip out of his hand. Ever. We are in his hand, and his hand is in the Father's. John chapter 10. Double security. What a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, look unto me. He says, call unto me. And he says, come unto me. And he says, listen to me. Hearken unto me. Not too hard to get saved. But it's hard for us because we make choices. We make some not good choices sometimes. So we say, this man. Quickly we go to this year. And a couple places in the Word of God we say where it says, this year, Luke chapter 13, if you will, turn there with me, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know the Lord does want us to have a fellowship with him. He wants to, first of all, he wants us to be in a relationship with him. And we already mentioned how we can become, come into a good relationship with the Lord. But sometimes we don't want to. Here's a little parable the Lord is speaking in Luke's Gospel chapter 13. And if we read the previous verses, he speaks about someone who was judging. They asked about this tower in Siloam because it fell on people and crushed them or killed them. Let's read the first part of it, chapter 13, verses 1 there. Were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, and he said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, and you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, it's very easy for us to judge other people, isn't it? And we look at the world and we say, oh man, that is one bad character there. And he is one sinful soul. But a lot of times we never look in the mirror at ourselves. We judge other people. And we gauge our lives, if you will, with other people. The Lord speaks about a little parable here. In verse 6, look what he says. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And I believe that was speaking of the nation of Israel. And it says this, and he came and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered, and that is the vine dresser, and I believe it's a picture of the Lord Jesus, said unto him, Lord, let alone this year also. The Lord is long-suffering. But you know what? The Lord loves to see evidence. He loves to see fruit in our lives if we're saved. And he says this, and he answered, and he said unto him, let it alone this year, also till I shall dig about it, and dung it or fertilize it. And he said, and if it bear fruit, well, if not, then when thou shalt cut it down. And that's another whole story. But you know what? The Lord is looking for us. And God has a plan and purpose for every man, woman, and child. God did not put anybody in this world and say, just throw him in there. He has a plan and a purpose. But he's also standing at people's door. And he's knocking. To the unsaved, he wants to come in and have a relationship with you. And those who are saved, he wants to have a full fellowship with you. He wants you to be fruit bearers. He wants us to bear fruit because we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And that is why it's so important for us to be listening Say, Lord, speak to me. And we should ask even in our prayer, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Show me. And the Lord can speak to us in many different ways, through other people, through circumstances, through our conscience. And the Lord is speaking, but we need to be listening. And the moment we yield ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me, you think he'll turn his back on us? Because he says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you looked in that Revelation chapter 3, it says, behold, I stand at the door. We see a closed door. Do you know what the first, look at Revelation chapter 4. Just one moment. Revelation chapter 4, John was caught up to heaven. Listen to what it was. John chapter 4 and verse 1. Just about three verses beyond the one we just spoke. Listen to what it says. And this I looked, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So we see a closed door. And that was right after the churches, seven churches. And now we see John caught up to heaven, and we see an open door. And you know what? There is an open door, and the Lord has got his arms wide open. He's already finished the work. He's sitting down, and he's welcoming people to him. We have an open door policy with the Savior of the universe, the Savior of the world. And he's calling you. Where are you? And as Christians, where are you in your worship? Where are you in your witnessing? Where are you in your prayer life? He's speaking to us also. And to the unsaved, he says, where are you? Let me come into your life. Let me have a relationship with you. Let me have a fellowship with you. Let us work together. That's why he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He's a reasonable God. And he has paid the price of your sins and mine. So we see in this parable, God is looking for people to bear fruit. We could read one more. James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. This is the arrogant person who has a plan. And we all have a plan for next year, I'm sure. And it's coming up real soon. What do you plan on doing next year, 2019? What is your plans? But the only thing is this, is God in your plans? Because we're going to look shortly at someone who left God right out of his plans. That is this night. And I believe you all know the story we're going to look at. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14. It says, go to now. I'm going to read it in a little different version. It says this, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whosoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. That is quite an important little passage, isn't it? Do we have the Lord in our plans? Are we planning to serve him better next year? Because I believe we all can do some work. I know that. Even as Christians, we have all kinds of little areas where we need to get fixed, don't we? We do. And God wants us to develop to be more spiritual, to be men and women of God. This person, by the way, he basically didn't think about God. All his plans were financial, physical, not spiritual. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. So we see the word this year. And what will you do this year coming up? What will you do even at the end of this year with a day left, 2 days left? Quite a thing. We go on to the next one. We're going to leave it there. I want you to think about that. That's what I want people to think about. This man, this year, And then we're going to go to this night. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, a well-known passage. I spoke on it. You want to know something? A man's whole life is in six verses in this little chapter. Six verses to this man. And it tells us all about his life. Quite a life, isn't it? Chapter 12, the parable of the rich fool. Verse 16, verse 12, and he spake a parable, that is the Lord Jesus, unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, and eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, or thou foolish man, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. A warning, isn't it? We just talked about two people who were gone in an instant just the past week. Do you know what it says in Proverbs 27:1? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Amos chapter 4, verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Do you know what? I can say without one little doubt, I am prepared to meet God. I'm not what I should be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I am saved, not because I'm good, not because I come to this chapel, or because of anyone else here, but because of the one we've been singing about, the Savior of the world. And one night in 1982, I came as it were to myself. I repented of my sins. I changed my mind. I agreed with God, because it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can't walk with the Lord and be part of the world. You can't have two masters. The Bible tells us that. Can't have your foot in the world and your foot over here and say, well, I go to church on Sunday, but you know what? The rest of the week, I'm just going to have a good time. We can't fool God. He sees us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And this man, we could say four things about him. He could say, first of all, he forgot about God. If you read those verses, there was three verses where it's 11 times he said, I, me, and myself. He never mentioned God once in this six verses, not once. And it says God gave him an abundant crop this year. And I wonder why God did that. Do you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27? It is appointed unto man or woman once to die. You have an appointment. And you're going to meet God in a moment, in a flash, just like those two people did. And it says, after this, the judgment. This was this man's appointment. He didn't know it. And God gave him one more chance. Remember we said God speaks once, yea, twice. And maybe three or four times he spoke to me more than twice. I know that. I thank God that night that I said, Lord, come into my life. Save me. And he gave this man a bumper crop. He gave him one more chance. And he was waiting for that response to see if he would open the door. It doesn't say about all the other neighbors around him if they got good crops. But this man did. And God made sure he got a bumper crop. And God was waiting for a response. And he said, me, myself, and I. And he never even mentioned his neighbor. He forgot about God. He forgot about his neighbors. He forgot about his soul. And he forgot about eternity. And then the Lord said, thou fool, this very night your soul is required of thee. And God has every one of our lives sitting in this auditorium this morning. He has us right in his hand. And we all have an appointment. And I don't know when my appointment is. It could be tonight. It could be before tonight. It could be today. But you know what? I made sure in 82 that I'm ready to meet the Lord. I know that. How do I know that? Because God has said so. That's what faith is. God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. I have confidence in, calm assurance. I know that when he calls me home, if it was today, I'm going to be with him. If he comes for me, I'm going to be with him. Are you ready? This man was not ready to meet the Lord. He forgot about God. God didn't have any part in his life. He forgot about his neighbors even. He said, I will build barns for myself, and I will enjoy for myself. And look what it says in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul. He forgot about his soul. His soul was lost. And I wonder where he's at today. I don't have to wonder. I know where he's at. And if God came today and you're not saved, you don't have to wonder where you're going to be. God has done everything for us. He's got an open door policy. He's standing at your heart's door and he's knocking. He's standing there and he's talking to you. He's calling you by name. But he needs a response. And you say, well, I'm not going to do anything. You know what? That's a response already. It just means you're not going to get up and open the door. Or you're going to get up and say, Lord, come on in. Welcome. Take control of my life. You know what? A person will never say again, I need to find myself, because God already has found you. The moment you let him in, you take control of your life. He will take control of your life. We're going to go to one more. That is this night. The last one is this day. And we already referred to it. There's two or three places. We're only going to go one. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 44. Luke chapter 23. This is the man on the cross, the thief we were talking about a little bit earlier. And we thank God for these words. Luke chapter 23. We'll read in at verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which was hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We already read this verse, for we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, he has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, remember the word Jesus means Savior. He acknowledged him as his Savior. He said, Lord. Lord means Master. Master, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He saw over the cross. It said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He acknowledged that. He understood that there was a kingdom to follow. And he says, I want to be a subject in your kingdom. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today, or this day, shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a wonderful response. But you know, he had to acknowledge the Lord, didn't he? The Lord was standing right, was nailed right beside him on the cross. And just like the other thief, who didn't acknowledge him as Lord, where is he today? But this man is in heaven. And so it comes down to this, because Joshua would say, it says this, Joshua would say in Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, he says, choose you this day who you will serve. Who will you serve? It says, I'll read the two verses. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Pretty good statement, wasn't it? And put away the gods of your fathers. He's speaking to the Israelites. To Israel, served on the other side of the flood in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which is of your fathers serve that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land we dwell. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. So it's your choice. It's my choice. And I thank God that I made a choice way back in 1982. Do I ever regret it? Not one moment do I regret it. Not one moment. And so if you're making commitments this year for next year, you're making a resolution, if you will. Say, I want to serve the Lord even better than I did this year. I want to spend more time in His word. I want to read more. I want to study, not just to read it, but study it. I want to meditate upon it. Leonard was speaking in Psalm 1. Read Psalm 1. See what it says about meditation. That is to read something and then to think about it, to dwell on it, and consider what God is saying to you and to me. That's what meditation is. It's to think about what we have already read. It also says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to study the word of God. So that you can come here and you say, well, that Brian Taylor said something up there, but you know what, I don't agree with it because I see it here in the word of God. We should know the word of God as Christians and study it. And if we're in tune with the Lord's word, you know what? We will know the will of God. We will know his will. We're those who have a prayer life. We're in tune with God. And God will speak to us as Christians. And he will show us the way. If you're not saved this morning, God is knocking. The Lord is knocking on your heart's door. And he is speaking your name. You say, well, I don't hear it. He is speaking to you. But the moment you say, Lord, speak. For thy servant heareth, or I will hear, I will listen. You will hear him speak, my friends, and he will, by the Spirit of God, will convict you of sin, of righteousness, that you need to be right with God, and of judgment, because you do not want to be under the judgment of God. It says in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. And if your life was snuffed out tonight, if your appointment was tonight or today, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't need to know where you're going to tell you where you'll be for all eternity. What we need to know is the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. He is a forgiving Savior. He's a saving man. He will save you from all your sins. God has given him power and authority on this earth to forgive sins. And sometimes God brings things into our lives. A little song that we're singing like this. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. God is trying to get people's attention. Your love, God's love, is so much stronger than whatever trouble there may be. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust him or trust you and believe. And God is working in different ways to get our attention. And he's speaking to people's hearts and lives even today. May we begin 2019 with a full relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, thank you so much for saving me. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank thee so much for loving us. We thank thee, Father, for this man, your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. We thank thee for this man, Father, who was sinless. We thank thee for this man who was a suffering man. He suffered in my stead for me. We thank thee for the man who was sitting, waiting for the Lord to tell him to go get your redeemed people. And we thank thee, Father, for the saving man, that through him forgiveness is preached. We can be justified by accepting him as our Savior and Lord. Father, we pray for each individual here today, each family represented. We pray, Father, the Spirit of God and the voice of the Lord would speak to people, those who are not saved and those who are saved. And Father, may our commitment be for the next year, 2019, and even for the last 2 days of this year, if we're not saved, that we will come to know Christ as our Savior. Pray us with thy blessings, and Father, may each one of us have a happy new year. And may we remember the one who first remembered us as he died on the cross for us. Father, we thank thee for your Son, and we lift him up before thee, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.